Well, tonight we're going to talk about, and this is a message that's called Give Me a Drink. Give Me a Drink. You know, the world has coined a slogan that I've probably heard thousands of times over and over again by bosses, coworkers, coaches, in just about every profession that you can think of. When the effects of stress and pressure begin to bear down on you and on your mind, now this is in the world. Now, of course, this is not the church. But when these things bear down on people, the first thing they say is, I need a drink. Yeah, we've heard that, if we haven't heard that over 1,000 times. On the job, construction sites, Friday, 4 o'clock, boom, where do you see them all headed towards, you know, to pick up their alcoholic beverages, and they race to find the bars for temporary solace to relieve their pressures and their trouble. And recently, we don't make light of people's problems or things, you know, but recently I was talking to a woman, and she was telling me about something that she was facing and going through, and she was like, no, Pastor, you don't understand. This is a level five. This is on a level five problem. You know, this is serious. This is like red alert. And it could be any situation, family member, when you got that report, when the diagnosis came, the doctor called you into the office and says, you know, it's worse than you think it is. So she was saying that it's a level five, you know, this is really, really serious. And she was really, really stressed out. But a terminal report of epic proportion can just send your mind just spinning, just sounding the alarm, red alert. But the anecdote is, you know, God always gives us the answers. The facts may be that this is going on. You may be diagnosed with cancer. The tumor has grown. This has happened. You may even hear the news from a police officer knocking on your door saying there's been an accident. Something tragic has happened. These facts, they're true, and they may be facts, but know that the truth of the word trumps the facts. And the truth of the word can change the facts. So as Christians, we don't bury our head in the sand and ignore the facts of things that are happening, even in your life, you know, with diagnosis, with sicknesses, with all of these things that we deal with on a daily basis. You may get a letter in the mail from the IRS or from some corporation, and they're not just asking how you're doing. They're there saying by certain due date, you have to pay this much amount in full. And meanwhile, you know, you have like $25 in your checking left. What do you do? That may be the facts, but you'd always go to the word. Take the truth regarding that situation and you apply it, speak it, place it on top of the fact, and just keep saying it, answer it until the facts change. And they will change. They will. As far as sickness, illness, diagnosis, by his stripes we are healed. We know all of the scriptures. Take the truth and lay them on top of the facts. And this is just so, so important. When stress comes and worry and all of this stuff and torment on the mind, Philippians, the 4th chapter, peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's not given us the spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy, it says, lay the truth. The truth will always trump and override the facts. So in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah, 12th chapter, the 3rd verse. We all know this really well. Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will draw water out from the springs, the wells of salvation, with joy. The Message says, joyfully you'll pull up buckets of water from the wells of salvation. You'll pull them up. Yeah, you'll have to pull them up. Buckets of water from the wells of salvation. Do you not know that when you got saved, that all of these things, all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy and peace and all of these good, all were imparted, given to you in seed form in your spirit. But it's up to you to let them grow, to nurture them. And joy is that one thing. And we're no strangers to joy. We're no strangers here to joy. We've experienced it time and over again. But there's times when we need to be drinking more than what we normally are doing. We need to drink sometimes every day. Every day we need to drink. And I'm not talking about alcoholic beverages, but we need to drink, dip in, lower that bucket, and draw it up, and drink all you want of joy. It doesn't say with tears to draw water out. It doesn't say your tears. And you know, I don't make light of any, you know, situations that any of us may be going through. Sometimes, you know, face it, let's be real. When you got a level five, so to speak, situation going on in your life, the very last thing you feel like doing is, you know, is joy. Really, it is, you know. And a lot of times you're just on the verge of crying on tears. But then if you get into that grief mode, you're not going to draw up anything. You're not drawing up joy. You're not going to draw up anything out of that well of salvation. And so it says that when you're facing something, anything, small or great, that you draw that out of your well. How do you get it out from the well into your life? Joy. With joy. And know this, that joy isn't a feeling. We all wait for feelings, even here in church, you know, when joy, the flow of joy is flowing. We'll wait for a feeling. I don't feel it, Pastor. But it's not a feeling. Joy is an action. It's an action. Bypass the feeling. Don't wait for the feelings, because the feelings might never come. But dip in and draw up out of your well, your wellspring. Joy has to be drawn out. Without joy, it stays inside the well. I'll say that again. Without joy, it stays in your well. You have to draw it out. How? Again, this isn't something that we're strangers to. This is not the first time you're hearing it. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. As dry and as rusty and as just like it may be. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Try it the next time you get a report. Try it the next time where you're so stressed, you just, I need a drink. I need a drink. When the kids have gotten to you on your last standing nerve, when you just want it, this is it. If the boss says one more thing to me, I'm heading out that door. Just ha, 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 ho, 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 ha, ha, ha. What are you doing? You're drawing. You're drawing up. You're drawing, dip down, dip down. You got to draw up. It's there in you. It's there on the inside of you. You just have to draw it up out of your well. Each of you have one. Each of you do. That's scriptural. Draw it up out of the wells of your salvation. If you're not thirsty, though, you're not going to draw up anything. Yeah. Quit waiting for your feelings to kick in before you start joying. Because again, we're not a people who are led by our feelings, but we're led by faith. If you're going to fill up on something, it might as well be the living waters. If you're going to fill up on something, we can fill up on a lot of things, a lot of things. You know, after dinner, you come home from work, and you have dinner, and you turn the TV set on, you think, oh, okay, I'm going to watch the evening news, 6 o'clock news. So you're watching the news. Then after the news, your favorite movie comes on. You go, okay. And then before you know it, it's 10 o'clock, 10:30. You've just spent 4.5 hours in front of the TV set, not drawn up anything, no impartations, no, nothing, just zoning out in front of the TV set. 4.5 hours gone by just like that. And you may say, and we all done it, we all do it, you know, but we should be doing it less and less. Just think, though, for 4.5 hours, just think if you took that 4.5 hours and put that into the Word, or prayed even half of that in tongues. My goodness, the benefits that you would get from that. Now, I know we don't spend all our time. You may say, come on, listen, have some relaxation. Everybody enjoys a good movie once in a while, sure. But again, you know, and the same thing is with the internet and with the video games and on Facebook and social media. I just got to answer a few. I got a few messages for things. And before you know it, it's your hours in that thing. And half the day has gone by. And you're thinking, my goodness, you know, wasted. No spiritual benefits, no edification, no building yourself up. You just, and sometimes too, it can really do more damage to you, to your spirit, because you're taking in, you're listening to other people's words, other people's thoughts. When the Word says, son, daughter, attend to my sayings, attend to my word. Not to what's on Facebook, not on what is on the internet. But if you're not careful, though, that can happen. You can just start drifting and drifting, on the tablet. Before you know it, hours pass. And, you know, it's close to midnight. My goodness, was I there that long? Yes, you were. Yeah, yes, you were. Turn to John 4. John 4th chapter, verse 7. We love the Word. It's our answer. We don't just turn to it when, just like when you see a fire and you break the glass, reach for the fire extinguisher. No, we should be feeding on this every day, every day. John 4, 7. Then a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone off into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman asked him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew about God's gift of eternal life and who it is who says, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water, eternal life. So she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, no bucket and rope, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and who used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never, never be thirsty again. Hallelujah. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty again. Now, back in those days, yes, they had to drop their water. And Jesus is telling her of these living waters. And then before he goes on with her, he asks her too, go get your husband. And then she says, I have no husband. And he says, you told me the truth, you perceived right, but you've had five husbands and you're living with someone who isn't your husband. So she perceived that he was a prophet. But these living waters that Jesus is talking about is something that we have on the inside of us with the new birth. And how many of us are actually tapping into that and drinking more of it? And it's free. It's a free gift. It refreshes. It strengthens. Joel Siegel, his wife, Pastor Amy, she was telling this story about they were in one camp meeting. And long story short, the Holy Spirit just told her, start running around the building. She said the last thing she wanted to do was run around the building because, first of all, nobody else was running, and she didn't want to be a spectacle, and, you know, and she didn't want to look foolish. But when the Holy Ghost tells you, you respond and you do it. And you may think, well, what good is that? What sense, you know, running around the church? But she did, and she obeyed. And long story short, because she ran, you don't know what you're running around, jumping up and down, laughing, you know, all these expressions. She laughed her way and ran around the building into their new house. And that within that week, her and her husband, Joel, got their brand new house, their dream house. She says her kitchen is kind of like a football field. It's huge, just huge. And that's just her kitchen. And she said that she gets into it. It's a long testimony, but I'm just shortening it, putting the emphasis on obeying the expressions of the Holy Ghost. And it was just all because God said, running. When the Holy Ghost tells you to run, when he tells you to jump or just dance, it may just be something more than just to loosen you up and to get the joy and the adrenaline going. You don't know what's on the other side of that for yourself. You don't know. It could be just something that giving you your heart's desire, a breakthrough, and on, something for your children, something that you've been believing and praying God for, deliverance, on. The Holy Ghost knows. But when he tells you these things, and again, it's that mind that'll rob us, and we begin to, even when you give a salvation call, people dissect it, and the first thing is mentally they start, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't, I got to go down to the front. And they let their mental assent and reasonings rob them from what God has for them. So the next time the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, yield to it, because you don't know what he has waiting for you on the other side of that. And again, we're at home, we're with family, and so what? Who cares? And she was, they were broadcasting it too. It was on live stream, so she was, you know, there was probably thousands of people who seen her running around the building, but nonetheless, she didn't care. The Passion says, regarding John, the fourth chapter, for when you drink the water that I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. Springing up and flooding you with endless life. The Greek word, it's a Greek verb, used for springing up is halomai. Almost sounds like a Hawaiian word, but it means to jump or to leap up or to gush. Yeah, to jump up, to leap up, or to gush. And these are all action words. These are all activities of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has activities, and He wants us to express these things. He doesn't want a dead church. He wants people to respond. And so, responding in every service. Amen. That helps. When you even draw, when you say amen, even when we're preaching, believe me, that's responding. That's responding. It's not like our egos need to hear it, like, come on, you know. No, you're responding to the Word of God. Yeah, amen. And so that's just all participating. But the well within you mustn't have a mixture, because that will stop you from expressing, it'll stop the flow, these flows of the Holy Ghost within you. Now, not always, but there's nothing more that the enemy would love than to contaminate a pure stream, your wellspring. He'll try to pollute your well by throwing rocks in it and by stopping the flow. These rocks and stones will come in the shape of offenses, unforgiveness, worry, bitterness, and misunderstandings. James 3, 11, 12 says, you don't have to turn there, but you can just listen. James 3, 11 says, does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water. When your wellspring becomes polluted or unclean, it has the same effect, listen to this, as cholesterol in your soulish realm, in your spirit. I'll say that again. When your wellspring or your well becomes polluted or unclean, doesn't mean you're deep into some deep, dark sin. It could just be something, you know, just something light. It could just be worrying too much, stressed out. It has the same effect as cholesterol in your heart, in your soul, your spirit, that prevents your heart from beating in rhythm with the Holy Spirit. It clogs up the flow, just like in the natural, what cholesterol does to your natural heart. And again, we know a lot of these causes are what we mentioned before, these natural things in the world that hold our attention. Proverbs 25:26, the Passion says this, and this is really, really strong stuff. It says, when a lover of God gives in and compromises with wickedness, it can be compared to contaminating a stream with sewage or polluting a fountain. Boy, it's pretty strong. Yeah, that's pretty strong. Yeah, when you compromise with wickedness, with sin, when you give in, you're contaminating your wellspring. You're poisoning your well. Yeah, and not even aware that is what's happening. Yeah. But Psalm 46, 4 and 5 says this, and I'm going to close with this scripture. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. That's so good, I'm going to read it again. Psalm 46, verses 4 and 5, there is a river, a gusher. Doesn't say stream, says streams make glad the city of God. When those streams start flowing through you, when you draw up those wells of water out of your salvation, it changes the landscape of your heart, of your life. It washes away things that may have gotten on the inside that don't belong in there. And it'll just wash all that out, those wells, those living waters. Spring up a well inside within my soul. We sing that song here, spring up a well. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The Passion says this, God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling place. Hallelujah. His river flows right through the city of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We receive that word tonight. And what better time, what better place? Some of you know where we're going with this. I need a drink. Do you need a drink? When's the last time you drank? When's the last time any of you drank? I'm not talking about alcoholic beverages. I'm not talking about iced teas or your favorite drink at Jamba Juice. I'm talking about when's the last time you dipped in and drew out living waters out of your wellspring, out of your belly, out of your belly. Shall flow joy unspeakable and full of glory. That wellspring that is available to us. And you shouldn't just do it while we're here in church. It's great to do it here as practice runs. But yet when you go home, when you're hit with things and the office is closed and you can't get a hold of us, your pastors, you need to dip in and start drawing up and out of those from your wells of salvation. And it'll come in the times when you just least expect it. A lot of times with me, I'll start weeping, or it'll appear like I'm weeping, and then it just breaks out into laughter, into joy, and then it just flows like a river. Just flows. And all you have to do is just yield to it. Now, if you haven't quite been able to, don't think that your stream is clogged up. Only you know that. Only you know if the enemies try to throw rocks in your well with different things. But there is a river. There is a river. So how about whether you want to just place your hand in that area where your belly is, where the rivers stream up. There is a river. Out of your belly shall flow. Begin. Let it just rise up. Let it flow. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. It's there. It's there on the inside of you. It's there. Ha, ha, ha. Spring up a whale. Spring up a whale with inner soul. Spring up a gusher. You don't know what's on the other side of this, church. Your breakthrough, whatever you're believing, it's, don't just think, what good is it? Oh, much good, much good. It's prolonging some of your lives. Sweetening you up. Yeah. It's Wednesday. Some of you haven't laughed from Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You haven't laughed in 3 days. Let some of those frown lines, yeah, disappear. Joy, joy, joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Someone once asked Smith Wigglesworth, what's the secret of your success, of your ministry? And you know, you raised so many bodies from the dead and so on and so forth. He says, I get up every morning and I do this for 5-10 minutes. You think he feels like it? No. There's nothing in him, you know. And I believe he lived in England, those cold mornings, you know, getting up out of bed, trying to, you know, light the coal stove or the fireplace just to get some heat, you know. It's not like he just boing, just bounced, sprung out of bed all, you know. But he didn't wait for the feeling to come. He did it as a choice, his will. He just willed it. He joyed it. As action, he just put it to action. Just joy, just joy. And you know, sometimes this may seem, what good is it? Nothing's happening. Just, you know, nothing's happening, Lord. Ha ha. Still nothing happening. Come on. All good things come to him who perseveres, presses through. That seed of joy is on the inside there. I'll tell you what, somebody here needs to run. Somebody in here needs to run. Your miracle, your breakthrough may be just right at the end of that. Somebody... Somebody needs to run. Like the saying goes, get the lead out. Get the lead out. Like a river. Yay! Yes! Hallelujah! Just one dose of the Holy Ghost isn't good enough for me. Well, just one dose of the Holy Ghost ain't good enough for me. Yes, just one dose of the Holy Ghost ain't good enough for me. No, it's not good enough for me. And I say, just one dose of the Holy Ghost ain't good enough for me. No, no, just one dose of the Holy Ghost ain't good enough for me. Well, just one dose of the Holy Ghost ain't good enough for me. Ain't good enough for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the more you do it, the more you drink, it just comes easier and easier. You don't have to strive or feel like, oh, Lord, yeah, I'm moving, I'm ha, 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 but ha, 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 he, 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 ha, ha, ha. It'll flow because you're using your faith to propel it. And we're faith people, and God, and faith pleases God. So He'll propel you out of that until there's a flow, until there's an ease to it. And wherever you're at, just and this joy is reserved, especially for hard times, for times when you may think, boy, I never seen this coming. Never seen this one. But yet, yeah, just joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah. Thank He's given us everything. He's made it so easy for us, yet we make it so hard. Why run into the world to these artificial things and things that seem to, you know, just to glitter and hold our attention to where He's given us eternal things? And believers should be the very ones who were skilled and flow in all of these, because these things were deposited in us when we believed, when we first got saved. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the flow of joy that will flow like a river continuously, and that your people will take this home with them in the car, in the bedroom, when they get up, when they're laying down. This flow of joy is for us. It's for the believers. And we enjoy, and we make a decision, sound decision tonight, to drink more. Give me a drink. There's countless people in the bars tonight and every night on the weekends where they're saying that same thing to the bartender, to their buddies. Give me a drink. I need a drink, because it'll relieve some of that pressure and make them forget about the heavy load that they're carrying and get inebriated. But it's temporary, and it wears off. And where are you at in 2-3 hours? Right back into the pit. Right back into, you know, oh, woe is me. Oh, me, oh, my. But joy is everlasting. And there are effects. And some of you, you'll experience and see what's on the other end of you joining tonight. Whether the dance, the run, the whatever it may be, these are all activities of the Holy Ghost. And He's prompting them. Not, you know, we're not just doing this just to fill up space or to do something in church. These are all expressions of the precious Holy Spirit. That's how He expresses Himself through us, through us. Yeah. And so when we yield to that, when we flow to it, it brings Him pleasure and His delight also as well. And so we thank you. We thank you for that, for these gifts, Holy Spirit. We thank you that there'll be, even in the days and the weeks and the months to come, greater flows of this, greater obedience to respond in this, and that the people, this congregation, will be quick to respond and not allow pride and what people think and, oh, I don't want, you know, oh, gee, what, you know, so-and-so just came to church and I haven't seen them in a long time and they're going to see me running around. No, we don't care about that. We're obedient. We prize, Lord, what you've told us to do. And Lord, so we will do that. We will flow more with these different flows that you offer us, that you offer the church. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, Leg, come up here and take the offering.